everyone, and welcome to your third PSC in 3 weeks. We snuck an extra one in last week, as you know, with Jim Fowle, and now we're back with the regular one. And our guest this time is Mark Mockin. Joe's here with me as well. So hello, gents.
How you doing?
Hello, Ted.
Hello. We were just trying to work out before we were recording when you were last on, and we reckon, as long as we don't trust Gemini to tell us, it was September 24, was it?
I think it was, Ted. It was September 24. definitely not January 25.
That's what she told us. January 25. She even came up with a fictitious title for the podcast show. We'll come to Gemini in a minute, though.
Before... We should title this one that title.
Yes. We'll tear her apart in a minute. So, yes, we're on PSC 880, and it's Monday the 19th of January. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website, two S's in the middle. And you can find anything else you need at PodHubUK or TedSalmon.com, really. MeWe is where we scoop up all the goodies generally to speak on the about on the show, and we've scooped up a couple of bits and pieces from the last show, or since the last show, I should say. One of which is being that the I linked to a 9to5 Google YouTube video, which was 8 minutes long, which I'll put in the show notes, which is worth looking at because it's explaining about the Google Gemini personal intelligence thing, which has been launched this week. It explains the kind of the ins and outs, the controls that it gives over one's data and what it can do with it. But it also, you know, it highlights also those that might be fearful of having all one's eggs in one basket and giving data away to Google and all the rest of it. John Tanzer said he'd like to hear the panel's view on this on PSC. So we're doing that now, John. I find it absolutely terrifying, he says, effectively having to openly share everything with Google. The ultimate Faustian deal. I think for some people, like yours truly, it feels like it's an amazing new opportunity of greater help, better help than we just experienced when we, you know, she was just making stuff up and not even pretending to not know. It would be better if she'd said to me, no, I haven't got that data, but no, to make it up. And it was just bizarre. So if this starts to dig deeper into my services, I mean, I've been married to Google services since 2004 when Gmail came along, and I'm just okay with them knowing whatever they want about me, pretty much. But I can understand that it's a concern for others that might think it's all very Big Brother, or, you know, to me, it's a helping hand to get stuff done. To be able to, you know, say to Gemini, when did I buy that Marshall speaker? And she digs around in my email to find the Amazon email to find what date it was and tell me. At the moment, that's a bit hit and miss. Now, the caveat here is that it's at the moment only available in America, and you've got to be paying for at least the $18.99 tier of Gemini, equivalent in the UK, of course. So it doesn't work on the basic, but I guess eventually it will. But the panel's views. Let's start with Joe.
Yeah, I can understand people's concern, but I'm not majorly concerned. Like you, Google knows everything about me. They're just going to be using my data to make Gemini more useful for me, in my opinion. No doubt that while extracting more information about me to profile me more, but that's fine. I'm fine with that. I think this is the way AI and tech industry is going as a whole. Like Snapdragon Summit, Christiane Amon spoke about the future of devices and AI, saying that no longer need to learn how computers work. Computers are now learning how to interact with us through voice, vision, and context. And he stated that AI is the new UI, which mm-hmm. is kind of what this intelligence is going to be like. He also went on to say how ecosystems of view and explain that the smartphone is no longer the sole center. Instead, AI agents becomes the hub for a variety of devices like smart glasses, earbuds, and watches. And again, this is a move towards that, isn't it? So I think what you said was quite true and on point. I'm not scared by it because I like it. I want all my tech to listen to what I want and give me results quicker. And if it knows me better, it's going to do that, I think.
Of course, there is another fear that we haven't mentioned so far, that it might all go tits up. And if you all eggs in one basket, you're relying on one company to do all this, and then suddenly
this is the biggest fear.
It won't work.
If someone decided to hack Google,
yeah,
and everything's down.
Mark, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, listen. I think I'm the same as you, Joe, as you know, and you as well, Ted. You know, I mean, it's more to me. It just looks like obviously it's just cross-platform search. You know, information Google's already got about me. So to be honest, yeah, I'm not really alarmed about it. There's a few pros and cons, I think, and there are a couple of things, just what we're saying at the beginning there, you know, just about that sense check for AI. Obviously, they're planning to do a verification explanation where basically Google details all the original results, you know, and I think that's a positive step, certainly for me, because, like I said, I don't really trust any AI-generated answers yet, to a certain extent. So it's good if Google's pulling that together for me and showing me, then that means I probably believe that a wee bit more. Also, I thought the other option of actually having the opt-in option, I thought that was a good positive step by Google. Now, obviously, they're probably doing that just to make sure that they can roll this out, you know, worldwide a lot easier. But I thought that was a good positive. So at least people have got the choice, you know, to make that informed call and opt-in if you're all in that Google ecosystem anyway. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wee bit on the negative perspective. Obviously, I think we all know where all of this is going. You know, basically, it's Google joining the dots and ultimately, you know, gaining that deeper knowledge of us. But again, I think if you're in the Google camp and, you know, and you're invested in all their services anyway, is it really going to make that much of a difference? In fact, it's probably just going to help you out, you know. So, you know, it's maybe not too much a negative, but again, that is, I mean, we all know what the corporate strategy will be here, you know, and it's a natural progression for Google, isn't it? Joining all the dots and them having them all linked, you know, so that they can make it makes it a better commercial path for them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When they're linking everything together. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mate. They've always been about that. The primary motivator is advertising. And the more time they can keep you in their clutches, the more time you are spending online, the more time you are spending online with anyone that they facilitate advertising for, they're going to be happy. And, you know, and that's why all these great Google tools so far and apps and services have been free, inverted commas, you know, free.
There's a reason everyone wants to work with Google, right? Even Apple are taking on Gemini because they're just so powerful in this space.
Mark, any last thoughts?
No, I was just going to kind of agree with Joe there, you know, and that's obviously their angle, you know, and obviously we're all aware of it, giving stuff away for free. It's not free, obviously, just like you're pointing out there, Ted. But no, I mean, again, I think it definitely comes down to, if people are not used to using Google and all the rest of it, then I suppose, you know, I can see people being completely alarmed about this, you know, and like, oh, that's a step too far and all the rest of it. But for people like us that are really entrenched in that, I think it is what it is.
We've had a taste of this already, and a growing taste as well. We've all been talking for the last year, 2 years about Gemini and Google Assistant, and as it evolves, we've all been wowing and saying, generally speaking, good grief, this is so clever. And my dad again just yesterday said to me, when we were talking to the robot Gemini, you know, how incredible it was, that it's like talking to a human being, and we once again wowed about it together. And so yeah, the evolution is. We should have known this was coming because this is what they're after.
As in, Ted, was it you that said what it was going to be part of the package that's what £18 a month? Is that,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, £18.99.
Yeah, so that means that I'll be ruling me out way. Yeah, £18 a month for that, you know.
Somebody asked me in the group if I was paying the £18.99 a month, and the trouble for me, I think that if the America only bit wasn't blocked for me, I probably would have gone into the £18.99 a month, because for me, I think it's worth it, frankly. But if they start intelligently bundling other services with it, like YouTube and YouTube Music, for example, and offering package deals to people and compartmentalizing it, I think it could all get an awful lot better and more worthwhile. But yes, I think that the main annoyance for me is that a lot of it is America only, and as they roll things out, we've just got to wait, and you know, and that's just typical of Google. They sample their own home audience first, as do Samsung with Korea, and you know, I suppose it's a natural thing for them to do.
It's a good thing though. They're the guinea pigs.
I want to be a guinea pig.
Yeah, I suppose it makes sense for them, because they're getting over their own regulations first that they're comfortable with and they've got a good handle on. But I know what you mean. It would be nice, you know, if they kind of, you know, picked a few places in Europe or whatever as well at the same time, and maybe a few others. But, you know, that's what it is. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But definitely, I'm in the camp. I'm not keen on paying 18 quid a month for, like, Gemini and those things. I know the storage and that comes with it as well. I mean, I've had a couple of, I think it's about a year and a half, you know. I got some free, I got a year membership as part of the Pixel that I had, and then I got an extension there, and I think they gave me another 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of running on the free stuff, but to be honest, I just don't know if I would ever pay £18 a month for it, you know. I just personally don't get enough out of it, but I can see if people are utilising it a lot, maybe even for business as well, you know, a small business. You can definitely see the point of that for them, you know, even just using it on, like, emails and, you know, formal responses and saving the team's time and stuff like that. All of that's, you know, valuable and maybe is worth the money. But for me, personal user, £18 a month, probably not.
Right, yeah, sure. Each their own. It depends what world you live in. Apple have obviously decided it's worth getting on board, as you said, Joe. Let's just jump down to that news item while we're there. And I'm linking to the GSM Arena article on this. So Google Gemini has been picked by Apple to revamp Siri. This is a multi-year partnership which will use their Gemini models and cloud technology, blah, 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 blah. After careful consideration, we determined that Google's technology provides the most capable foundation for Apple Foundation models, and we're excited about the innovative new experience it will unlock for our users. So shares went up. Everyone seems to be happy. It works for Apple. It works for Google, and everyone seems to be happy. Google's company profile is suddenly worth billions now, and, well, even more billions. Any thoughts specifically on that one?
I think it makes sense. I don't know what else Apple would have done, to be honest. They were quite far behind, I think, on the AI side of things. Is that or buying someone out?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, it's reinventing the wheel, isn't it, for them? They've obviously weighed it up, you know, and looked at the costs. I mean, obviously, the other thing that stands out for me here, and I'm a wee bit surprised by Apple, is you know how they like to control all their own ecosystems and hardware and software, all of that. Yeah. So it's a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, that they are reaching out to Google for this, because, you know, obviously the vast sums of cash that they've got, they're definitely a company that are capable of doing this. But I think it maybe come back to what we were talking about earlier in the conversation, just where obviously the amount of data that Google's already got and Apple's, as you guys said, you know, is behind, you know, and maybe they think they just can't catch up at this point, you know, and it's better just to, you know, jump over to somebody who's already established.
they are already, let's not forget, in bed with them with Search, the default search engine. So, yeah. I mean, they do already have an established relationship with Google, but, yeah, this just takes it even further. Some companies are going to Perplexity, as we know. Samsung last week or the week before decided that they were going to announce that for Bixby, for example. Motorola have gone the perplexity way as well. There's although they're doing some stuff with Google as well. There's little fish as well. Little fish in a big pond. Like I was reading about Opera browser, Opera AI, and that costs. Yeah. I think it's about £20 a month. And some people are deciding that they're going to go with Opera because of what Opera stands for in terms of, you know, more privacy. But they've got an AI model which people are going with. So perhaps there were options for Apple, but they've decided to go with the big one.
Anyway. Actually, that existing relationship with Google, it made things easier in discussions.
I mean, I don't think, although the Google Pixel's a successful phone, I don't think they're truly competitors in that space, are they? So maybe they feel it's, there's nothing to worry about.
Talking of which, let's get to Guest Scala. And Mark, you have got a very Scottish-sounding accent. Do you want to say a little bit about who you are, where you live, and what you do for a living, if anything, and what sort of age you are?
So I'm obviously working in I work in IT in my early 50s, and I live up in Claybank, which is obviously up in Scotland, and I work IT in the NHS, so it's always very busy, and all the rest of it. But yeah, so
okay, cool. And what would you like to bring to Guest Scala?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to give a wee update and just some of the you know, what I've been up to with the phones. I think the last time I was on, I was given the running commentary and all the Pixel devices and other devices. I'd mentioned that I'd been in, and I was switched to the Samsung. I'd done the S23, S24, then back to Pixels. I was going to pick up a wee bit from there. You know, obviously everybody knows I love the Pixels, and like I said, I've had every one of them. One of the things that I didn't like was the Tensor chip. You know, it just seemed to be keep missing a wee beat here and there. You know, and I'd switched from the S24, which obviously had one of the Elite chips in it, and it was really, really speedy. But anyway, you know, obviously it could be me just being a wee bit pernickety there, you know. But anyway, it was something that it was kind of winding me up a wee bit, and I kept looking, you know, back at Samsung. Obviously then they came out with the S25, so I was like, when I heard about the, it appeared to be a camera bump, you know, that fixed that. Do you remember that blurry effect I was talking about? One of the things of what we're talking about at the beginning, obviously I like to take a lot of pictures and stuff like that as well, so you know, 50% of the time taking a lot of indoor shots. But one thing, it was driving me nuts, and I mentioned this, and I think Steve was a green member the last time, because he had noticed it as well. But one of the things that was driving me nuts about the Galaxies was indoor, any sort of mild low light, and then on humans, and it seemed to be only humans, you were getting this blur effect, and it was driving me around the bend. And that's what made me jump back to the Pixels, which obviously I love anyway, and they do great low light photography. But anyway, I'd heard that Samsung in the S25, they had sorted that out, and there was a camera bump, so I jumped back to Sammy again. You know, and like I said, even though I'd been burned twice already, you know, for the camera with the S23 and the S24, the illness took over and I bought one again and jumped back to it. But what I can say is definitely good news is this time around, I'm happy with the camera now. I can definitely see the improvements in the S25 Ultra. No longer am I seeing the blurry images in the indoor shots. Obviously, if you go right down low, you're going to get some noise in there, but that, I mean, even the Pixels pick that up as well. But definitely the indoor performance, I thought it was excellent, and I've been snapping away at it for months, and it's been really, really good. So I'm pretty pleased, just in jumping over there.
Cool. I got caught out on your accent there, Mark, because so far I thought you were saying I thought you were saying bloody images. And I thought,
what does it mean by bloody?
Bloody? What, are they red?
Yeah. Definitely bloody.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed I was listening to Tech Talk the other night, and I noticed that Kev's back with an S25 Ultra as well, which I thought was funny. I'm not sure that he does a lot of photography, and he never really mentioned anything about the cameras.
I don't think he does.
No, so it was funny to hear him back on it. But anyway, it's been really, really good, and I thought I'd just pick up in that point, because last time I was giving Samsung a bit of a beating. But definitely I've noticed the improvement in the S25 Ultra, 100%.
Yeah, I found the colour reproductions much better on the S25 Ultra as well, compared to the previous models. Not as saturated, more truer to life. Still a bit saturated, but much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Joe, because I can't remember if I spoke about that the last time, but I felt that every shot that I was taking I was having to mess about with the saturation, you know, just to get it right. So yeah, that was a good point. So I definitely much better.
Have you got a sniff of One UI 8.5 yet? Or
No, but I seen a comment later on, and I think I'm going to touch on it as well, that was good, about just some 8.5 improvements to the lock screen, allowing you to adjust that brightness and we'll come to that later, obviously, but that was good. But I was actually thinking of doing the beta, Ted, but see, because it's my primary phone, I've been burned so many times, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to leave it this time, you know.
I guess if you're relying on it for work particularly, it has an impact. I have the beta running on my main Pixel phone just all the time. I never take it off. But then, you know, I don't have a job, and I don't have to kind of watch my back on that sort of thing if something goes slightly wrong. But yeah, be interesting to see what the next line of updates bring, because Samsung have had a bit of stick about One UI lately, haven't they? People saying that they're not very happy with it, and that Google are doing better with M3E, and other people are doing better, and Samsung are lagging behind. Have you heard that?
Yeah, obviously, but I mean, I'm really actually quite happy with One UI, you know, and I've mentioned this loads of times before in the forum, and I always hated, remember TouchWiz and all the rest of it, so I've always had that in the background, you know, that I could never understand why they had to have this layer over Android, because I'm a stock Android fan, but you know, I've really come round to it, and I really like it, and I've actually not got many complaints about it, and I love the cutscene that, you know, when you download the GoodLock app, and then you've got access to, you know, pretty much changing anything on the phone. I'm really into that, although these days, I mean, if I'm honest, like most people, I don't have a lot of time to be messing around with all of that stuff, but I still like it there, and I like changing things just to the kind of way that I like them, you know, so it's good to have those options, and sometimes with the Pixel it can be a wee bit limited, but again, that is what it is, you know, and it's two different things, but yeah, it's good to have that, good to have the whole tool set back again.
It's nice to know that you can tinker if you want to, but you can leave it alone if you can't. However, we have had a post on the group today about the fact that Samsung kind of slow things down because there's so much stuff going on in the background, and you may or may not use that stuff, but it's still going on there. And certainly in my case, I've got an S24 Plus here. And I've noticed how pretty poor the battery is, to be honest. And I was floating that out there today, and people were, you know, coming up with those kinds of reasons. Well, there's loads of stuff going on in the background, and you need to, you know, work hard with Samsung to optimize things, and maybe even, as some were saying, to kill things off that you're not using, so it doesn't be, it's not doing that in the background.
Yeah, that may be an idea, looking through. I mean, obviously, when you look at your battery usage, then there's obviously some key players popping up there, isn't there? You know, and you've obviously addressed them, but... I take it you've looked at that then, Ted? You've looked in at the battery and seen what's
I'm in the process of doing that because, as I say, it was being floated out there today, and that there's a few people that have made a few suggestions, and over the coming days I'll be tinkering with those and seeing what I can do. But one of the main things is that it's an Exynos chipset, and that's one of the things that people are saying. And I did notice when I had the S22 and moved to the S23. Or was it the 21 to 22? Anyway, when I switched from Exynos to Snapdragon, I totally did see a huge difference in battery. It was staggeringly different. So if that's still a thing, then that could be it. And it may be that I will never fix this S24 Plus.
Yeah, Ted, that absolutely could be it. By the way, you may have heard me going on about those Exynos chips in the past with the battery stuff. I mean, that, you know, and, you know, that used to drive me utterly insane. You know, I can see how the American market would get it. You know, it's, you know, obviously compatibility with their mobile networks and all the rest of it. But, I mean, but not giving that to the rest, all of a sudden just picking the rest of the world. Europe, for example, you're getting the Exynos one, which is completely inferior, you know, and we'll actually just keep it kind of silent. You know, we'll not really mention it. And we'll sell you it for the exact same price, etc. You know, I think that's, honestly, when Samsung were doing that, in fact, that was one of the only reasons that I went back to Samsung, was once they switched back to that Snapdragon chipset, because definitely the Exynos is a complete battery drainer, and the camera performance as well, Ted, you know. I mean, I've read many articles just on the comparison between Exynos models and the Snapdragon variants, and people noticing differences in the camera as well. So you
also think that Pixel should go back to Snapdragon instead of Tensor?
Ted, and you might have seen that in there. It's one of those things where I say, well, what version of the Tensor is it going to be that actually is as good or on par with the Snapdragon? Now, I know people might be sitting at home and going, but that's not the idea. Google are trying to do different things, you know, and I get that, you know, that where they're trying to open it up and make sure, you know, that obviously there's parts of it all looking over AI and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's always really disappointing when you're about to buy £1,000 phone and then you watch the you know, the comparisons and it's like half of what a Snapdragon is or whatever it is, right? You know, and you know, and you're like, come on, I'm paying £1,000 for this, you know, a Galaxy's 1200 or whatever, you know, or even, you know, one of the Honors or whatever, you know. It's just one of those things, and I definitely feel it sometimes in the apps. I think when you're used to using a Snapdragon, and certainly one of the newer ones that's in the S24, S25, the Elite chips, you know, you definitely notice the speed, you know. And so if you're somebody like me, so one of the first things I do is I'll go in and I'll like change the animations to 0.5 and that, you know, and the developer options, so that things are really, really nippy, you know. And I did that in the Pixel, and I just noticing these wee skips here and there, you know. Sometimes it just couldn't seem to keep up. But as it more comes back to the money aspects of it, you know, people going out and buying, Pixel fans going out and buying it, and they're getting, in my mind, a chip that's just nowhere near as good as those Snapdragon ones. So you say to yourself, well, when are they going to catch up? You know.
So, Mark, you fancy an Honor? We'll bring Joe back in here.
I do, and I said that to Joe. I said I watched your review, and I loved every second of it. It was a really good review, Joe. You know, and you were just telling it how it was. So it was.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that, mate. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Pro 8.
Yeah, the Honor Magic Pro 8 is a fantastic device. Honestly, I miss it. I had to give it back on the 5th of January, sadly. But yeah, you mentioned here that was the battery that good. I think the battery was very good. It easily got me for a day. The cameras, in my opinion, are fantastic. And the vast majority of commentary that I've seen from other places mirror my thoughts, to be honest, about the camera. The star of the show is the telephoto. I won over 1.4-inch sensor, which is the size of what most main sensors are on phones. Fantastic, 200 megapixel. The key thing for me is the SEPA 5.5 rated stabilization. That's an industry first, and you can see that stabilization when you use it. You can feel it, and that's obviously especially good for low light. So when you're using a telephoto, any hand movement's going to blur that a little bit. But yeah, it's really, really good. And I want to get one again. I should be getting one through work at some point. And they want to hurry up with it because I want it.
They're £1,000, aren't they?
Yeah, so that's the thing with it. So the £1,099.99, I think it is. But Honor always have deals, so that their entry deal at the moment is £200 off and a load of freebies.
Right.
And I suspect they'll do that throughout the year a lot. They always have really big discounts. And no doubt we'll see one in Classified at some point as well.
Yeah, that's right. It was £200 off and six. I think it was six free gifts, Joe. Now,
it's mental, yeah. Okay.
Obviously, I may have been looking that up at some point.
Oh, yeah, here it is. I found it. You're right. It's a watch, earbuds, a power charger adapter, a case, care, the Care Plus thingy. and £200 off. So
yeah,
wow.
Even through the networks, Ted, it's a different deal. So I don't think you get the money off the device as such, but they're giving you the Magic Pad 3, which is a higher end tablet.
Yeah.
And the wireless charger and a watch. So yeah, even through the networks, you're getting a crazy deal.
And they're inviting trade-ins as well at Honor UK.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, anyway, right, okay then. So you're happy with your Galaxy S25 Ultra for now, Mark. What about going forward?
Yeah, going forward, I think definitely I'll look at the Galaxy 26 Ultra. I mean, obviously there's a few incremental updates, I suppose, in there, but definitely I'm seeing one in the main sensor as well. The telephoto looks as if it's getting a bump as well. But again, I mean, the charging and stuff like that, I think there's a bump there as well. You know, you're getting 60 watt charging now as opposed to 45. Now, I'm completely not interested in that because I charge my phone at night, so that is not a thing for me. The thing I'd be interested in is the camera bump. A thing I was disappointed to see was there was no silicon carbon battery, and plus the fact that we're still in the 5,000 milliamp hour range, you know, was a bit, I thought that was a bit disappointing. I mean, really, everybody else, you know, jumping on the silicon carbon with the bigger batteries, and maybe obviously Samsung's been burned before, no pun intended, but you know, or maybe pun intended, but it would have been good to see that, wouldn't it, in any sort of flagship. Certainly, you know, the way Samsung, you know, does see itself as the flagship builder, doesn't it? You know, it would be good to see that new tech in there. But anyway, for me, it'll be the camera bump anyway. But the question is, can I justify it? I mean, obviously, with the phone illness that we've all got, guys, you know, I'll find a way. You know, maybe they're offering a £20 case or something. I'll be like, all right, okay, I must get it then. But, you know, I don't know, but we'll wait and see. But I think it is just justifying it because the S25 is doing it for me right now, and there isn't a point where I'm saying, you know what, I need something more out of this camera right away. You know, so I don't know. Did you guys have a look? Did it interest you guys? Or?
I've kind of gone off a bit from Samsung at the moment. I did have a spell with it, and I've kind of switched back again. You're right. The silicon carbon thing. You think, well, come on, everyone else is doing this. Well, not everyone, but everything coming out of China is, including Honor, Joe. It just seems daft for them to be not trying.
I can see they've got the fear behind it, and there is the argument that it's not truly tested technology, but seriously, like, I think it's going to be fine. Just jump on it, Samsung.
I reckon they're scared.
I reckon the
S27 will be when they jump on it, I reckon. The next year, they just got to, haven't they?
They'll have some decent data by then of how they've performed in earlier devices. So, you'd think by then they'd jump on it.
Yeah. Well, there you go then. Sorry, Joe, go on.
I was going to say, like, I mean, it is disappointing that it is so incremental with Samsung. And I mean, will it be a good device? No doubt. I mean, the Ultra is always fantastic from Samsung, but when you put the cost and... when you look at what the competition is doing, you're like, come on, Samsung, sort it out. I feel like they just look at Apple and they're not concerned about what the other Android devices that are coming onto the market are doing. Although that being said, I think the Fold 7 was when they finally did react to what others are doing. I don't know what you guys thought on that, because the Fold was looking like a dinosaur compared to what other foldables were looking like.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, I see the Folds. I think I'm definitely getting very, very close to wanting a Fold. Well, I do want a Fold, but there's always just something I think it's to do with the screens as well. You know how delicate they can be and all the rest of it. But that gets such a good review and all the rest of it. But I mean, again, the one thing I don't know about you guys, but that amount of money, and then you end up with a battery that's roughly about the same size as a single screen device. And I'm always scratching my head at that. And I get they're trying to keep it slim, but if you're making a device, a productivity device like that with a big screen, you know, bump the battery up so that you really, you know, how the user can really get, you know, maximum usage out of it, you know, on a plane or whatever, you know, and you don't need to worry about battery. But another thing that winds me up about the foldables, you know, when you're paying £1,700 for a foldable, and then, you know, they're telling you that the camera's not as good as the other main, you know, premium smartphone out there that they've got, you know, I don't know, it just kind of grates on me a wee bit. Do you guys think the same?
The Swiss Army knife, isn't it?
I mean, this is where I will harp on about Honor, and to be honest, Vivo as well. I haven't tried a Vivo foldable, but they're very much in the same vein. They have got bigger batteries and they have got better cameras. The V6 looks very tasty from the rumours and leaks. That could be the foldable you go for, Mark, maybe.
Maybe. I know, I feel like I'm definitely there, Joe, because I'm ready for something a bit different. You've seen in the show notes that the Honor, definitely, I'm interested in that right away. Definitely the extended battery life and the camera bump as well, always looking at that. So
the camera bump you were talking about on the S26 Ultra, I just wanted to go back to that. I don't often talk about cameras on phones, but I will say that the aperture going f1.4 instead of 1.7, I had that exact same thing happen to me, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to notice this in the real world. I had one Motorola device, which was 1.7, and one that was 1.4, and I absolutely did. When I was taking photographs, not so much for the low light gathering, but for the background blur, for the depth of field. Yeah, the depth of field stuff. That it was markedly different, and it was just coming out of the main lens. So I totally see, for my money, the difference between those two, if you want to be, working towards shallow depth of field. Significant.
Yeah, absolutely, and then the low light as well. Because I mean, another thing, one of the things that I'm into as well, certainly with the cameras now, like city shots and lower light stuff. Because I mean, you know, the daytime shots, yeah, they're great and all the rest of it. But there's just something in low light shots for me. I always like try to capture them, but again, can be challenging at times. So hopefully that will give me the bump that I need. But again, the S25 is doing such a good job already. But I think definitely that would be a better option. It's just the money to buy it, you know, and invest in it for that incremental bump. But again, Samsung do the good trade-in deals as well, don't they? So
yeah, they do.
That's what got me onto the S25 as well, you know. And
you do take some fantastic photographs, though. If anyone wants to narrow down on that, if you go to the MeWe group and search, go to PSC Photos MeWe group and search on the word Mocken, which is what I just did, you'll get a list of all the photographs that he's posted to the group in a long stream. And honestly, they're just so impressive. They're so well done and well thought out and executed. You obviously do favour very strongly, making sure that you get a phone that is going to be able to do this stuff for you. So kudos to you.
I'll second that, definitely. Just quickly, actually, Mark, do you share photos anywhere else, like more frequently at all, or...
No. I mean, I've got an Instagram, page as well. I put them on Instagram sometimes, but mostly I'll just put them on MeWe. The reason why I put them on MeWe, it's not just obviously, you know, if I take a good shot, I'm like, all right, okay, this is great. Wait to, you know, it's not really about, it's more about just like sharing some of the captures, you know, and also like scrolling through. I love scrolling through there, looking at, you know, photos from the group, you get inspiration from it, don't you? And you go, God, look at that angle, you know, that's fantastic. Mm. Or even, you know, look at the light capture there, and just, I've seen some weird things on PSC, you know, and I go, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. So it's good looking at, you know, other people's photos, and I spend most of my time, you know, going through that, you know, there's always something on there that's interesting. So you get a real good bunch, and, you know, and I was looking at, and thinking about this the other day, but if you look over the years, I mean, look just how much that group has advanced. You know, it really is. I mean, there's some top-notch shots on there that you could print off and put in your wall.
Well, photo of the month is very hard to pick a winner. Honestly, it could go any way, couldn't it? Every month.
Talking of which, that is currently running. And I think there's about a day and a half left on the December, the last one for 2025. So if you haven't voted, please do go and do that. Sorry, Mark, I interrupted you.
No, it's all right. No, that's fine. That's fine. No, I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. Right, okay then, so the app wrap. What have we got in the app wrap? Did you manage to find something to tantalise us with, Mark?
I did. And listen, please, just the excitement level, just turn it to 5 for this. obviously, I was racking my brains, you know, because I thought, right, I'm not going to put something on that, or somebody will go, oh yeah, we all know about that, or whatever. I'm thinking, what could be interesting? Because I'll be honest, I just use the same set of apps that most people use. I mean, there's nothing really exciting in there, but there is one that I use, and I just thought, you know what, this is a good one, and it's free. So it's called TV Time. And basically this app is really, really good. If you watch a lot of TV shows and movies, you know, and you want to kind of keep track of what your next episode is, you know, what episode you're on, what you've watched, you know, and when the next episode's going to be out, or even when the next season's going to be out, then in this little app, you go on there, you tell it the show, you just search database, click the show, and then that's you following the show. And then as you watch an episode, you just click it off, so it'll keep a track of what episode you're on. But more importantly, like I said, when you're jumping from season to season, it'll pop up and say, you know, season 2, your favourite show, say it's Landman, you know, it'll pop up and let you know that Landman's coming back. And same for movies as well, you know, it'll keep track of movies, tell you when they're out and where you can watch them, and all of that stuff. And it's on iOS, Android, and I use it a lot on the browser as well, on the PC. So that's my exciting app, but it's a good wee companion, and it's not asking you for money every 2 minutes, so that's an added bonus.
Presumably it's advert driven, is it?
Yeah, but do you know what, Ted, hardly see the adverts, to be honest. You know, they're kind of hidden. So it's really, really good functionality. But what I like about it is basic functionality, and it's just good for keeping track of TV shows and movies that you're watching. So, yeah, that would be my little recommendation. But nothing ground-shattering, but there you go.
Yeah, very good. I've never heard of that. And I mean, I do similar things with my Plex setup, I suppose, but which works for me in a similar way. But Joe, have you heard of this one?
No, I should get sponsored by them. Imagine Screen On Time sponsored by TV Time.
Yeah, Screen On Time being Joe's YouTube channel, of course. But you all knew that, didn't you?
Of course, yeah.
We did.
Very good. Okay, TV Time is the app, the app wrap app, and we'll put a link in that in the show notes as well. Let's leap into the news. Joe, have we got anything interesting to talk about in the news?
Yeah, you've kindly put some stuff in there for me. Very good, Ted, thank you. There's the rollout of the Redmi Note 15. There's 3 devices, isn't there? And the chipsets baffle me. Did you look at that, Ted?
Yeah, they're all over the place, aren't they? There's 3. The prices range from the budget one at £180 to the top one at £480, I think it is. And yeah, you're right. The chipsets are Some of them are Snapdragon. What's the lowest end one? Is that that's not a Snapdragon, is it? What are they using?
That's the MediaTek Helio G200 Ultra. I think it's that one, isn't it? Is that the one? The Note Pro, the Note 15 Pro. I know the Note 15 is
Note 15 4G. Yeah,
G100 Ultra. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they all look good. Yeah. Good value though, very high spec for what you're getting.
The Helio chipset. I've got that on a couple of the tablets I've got here, and it's, to be honest, it's all right. You know, it seems to run things perfectly well. But my problem, I don't know what you two think, but my problem with Xiaomi and Redmi and all that is the UI. I just don't like it. And the more time goes on, the more Apple-like it gets, dare I say. Any thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. The high-end chipset from MediaTek's very good. And so, like, the X9 Pro from Oppo is meant to be very, very good for battery life, for example.
Right.
But anything from their lower end, I've not had a good experience with. And I haven't tried the UI. That's why I've not mentioned that. And that was your question, wasn't it, Ted?
Well, it was, yeah, I don't know. Have you ever tried to use a Xiaomi, Poco, Redmi, Mark?
No. But you know, all of these now. I mean, my eyes on them, you know, just because of the price and what you're getting for your money.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how sometimes I wonder, is Samsung looking at these companies, because that's actually where the challenge is going to be, and they end up, you know, in fact, it's already there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I often wonder if that didn't happen with Huawei, you know, with the US banning them. I wonder what position they would be in the world, what's that position Samsung would be in. But I do wonder if Samsung keeping an eye on them, because this is where the challenge is coming from. And although, you know, some of these might be kind of a wee bit lower end, you know, but for a small amount of money, but they're definitely pulling it together, you know, and they're building that user base, and that's what it's all about. Once people try these devices out, they like them, they know they're actually getting something decent for their money, then they'll go back to it, you know.
Samsung released this phone just recently, the last couple of weeks, where it's under 200 quid and they're offering 6 OS updates on it as well. That's something to aim for everyone else, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that was good that they did that. Yeah.
It's good that they've got that. Specs, though, the specs do look good. Like, this Titan durability looks good, Ted. It looks like the higher end one has similar durability to what that 8 Lite from Honor has.
Oh, okay.
So it has like IP68, 69 and 69K.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it does look very durable, and 120 hertz full HD screens. It looks like there's more than 4 versions, because there's 5G and 4G versions as well, Ted.
Yeah,
there's a 15 Pro and then another 15 Pro.
Yeah, it's all a bit confusing.
I'm confused.
Yeah. but as for I think that the IP rating must have got cheaper to do, because Motorola are doing that as well now, aren't they? Even their cheaper models, they got really top-notch IP ratings and military standard ratings in some of them. In fact, nearly all of them now, I think. So
And Gorilla Glass Victus as well, it seems to be on even much cheaper devices now.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed.
Now, you know that I like the Moto Loops. I've got earbuds, Moto Loops. Well, I favour them all the time now over everything. And I noticed this week that Sony have got a launch coming on Wednesday of their equivalent, the Link Buds Clip. And €200, which makes them about 175 quid for us, I suppose, it's going to be hard for me to resist these things, I think, because not only are they like Moto Loops, but they're also presumably even better quality because they're Sony. So I shall be looking out for that one. Has anyone apart from me tried these loop around the ear kind of earphone thingies?
No, I've got, what are they called? I've got the Honor earbuds open. They're quite good.
Yeah.
They're a slightly different design, though, because yours go around the year in a different way. But yeah, I like the open ear stuff myself, because you can still be in the room. So when I'm editing video, sometimes I'll either use my Meta Ray-Bans or I use the open ear, so I can still hear if my missus or little one says something. The lavender colour is quite nice, Ted, isn't it?
The colours of the boxes as well, they've made it very, very Japanese teenish, haven't they? So, Mark, any experience with that style?
No, not with that style, but I'm looking at it now. So I take it that it's pretty, I mean, I'm trying to work out how that fit in my ear, but so I take it, is that pretty good for the gym then? Because it kind of holds on to your ear, is that?
Yeah, it does. It clips around the outside of the middle of the ear, and going by how the Moto loops work, it holds on brilliantly well. I have no complaints at all. Even if I was going to the gym, I'm sure it would stay in place.
Some good tech in these. It's good tech in these. It's got AI and noise reduction for calls and bone conduction sensors. 10-band EQ. It's got IPX4 splash-proof design. So, for the gym and stuff like that, and running and stuff. Because the open-ear ones are better for running as well, because it's not really safe to be closed and running.
I use a pair of Pixel Buds Pro, and I've actually got the Galaxy Bud 3s. That's what made me buy the S25 Ultra. Remember I was saying that? but anyway, the amount of times I've been in the gym, but and you just sit down and the next minute the earpiece just falls out and you see it bouncing along the floor and you're like, oh, no, again. It's pretty much, once a week or something. I don't know what it is. I mean, I've changed the tips and that, so maybe I should look at them, something like that, actually.
But shocks, I'd highly recommend shocks.
All right, is that like a little holder that goes round? What's that, Joe?
No, that's a brand, shocks.
Oh, shocks, right.
Yeah, okay. They do very good. I bought my missus some for her running.
Are they clip-on ones?
No, they're sort of a band that goes around the back of the head.
Oh, right.
And they're bone conduction.
I think I've actually seen someone wearing them. I've seen a few weird designs, but I think I maybe need to look at something for the gym, because definitely the buds are falling out.
Well, I can recommend recommend the loops, and I'm sure that the Sony ones will be just brilliant, and I can't wait. Joe, what's going on in Land Honor?
Oh, Land, there's always stuff going on, and I did wonder if this was going to happen. The RSR Porsche design for the Magic 8 series. The Magic 8, rather, is coming out. They've even got a picture there with a teleconverter or a telephoto extender, because that's the trend now, that everyone does one of them. I wouldn't mind one, though, because the images they're showing look quite cool.
Is that the Xiaomi one? No, that is actually theirs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually theirs, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I thought. That's quite interesting. They've got a leaked image there, because it looks quite smart, doesn't it? It looks very much like what the others are doing. As it's the trend. I wonder how much that will cost, though. That's the thing, isn't it?
Or if it's available.
Yeah, whether it's available, because it's January 19th in China, which is today. Yeah.
No word about, mind you, if it's this Porsche version only, it's gonna cost about $2,000 to get it anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it can cost a little bit more. I wonder what other specs it has different to the normal Pro. I'll have to look into that, because I do quite like the Porsche design ones. They do look quite smart. Watch this space. There's also talk of the Air. This looks like a really good device, if I'm honest. I don't know. I don't really like the thin devices normally, but this one has less compromises, much like the Moto one, actually. 6.1 millimeter thick, 155 grams, so very light, and gives you a big 6.3-inch screen. What else you got? Your LTPO AMOLED display, really high resolution, 120 hertz refresh rate, The usual peak brightness of 6,000 nits, because that's the number for Honor this year. You're getting a 50 megapixel selfie cam, an ultrasonic fingerprint scanner, which is, the Pro is really rapid, so I'm assuming it'll be the same one. It's got like a pixel-esque sort of visor on there, hasn't it?
An Apple iPhone one.
Don't know, it looks pixel-esque, but then it, yeah. Do you know what? It looks like a hybrid of the Air and the Edge together.
Yeah.
It's like they've looked at both thin phones and said, what can we take from each one and make a hybrid of it? Because it looks quite good. If you want a thin device, this could be the one to go for. I don't know if it's going to be launching in the UK, though. It's China only. Well,
they're talking about China for now. There's nothing about a global rollout. And the equivalent Chinese price is going to make it 900 quid by the looks of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much in line with the Edge and the Air, though, isn't it, really?
Right.
Silicon
carbon battery.
Yep, silicon carbon battery, and it's bigger battery as well. Mm-hmm. And like I say, there's a dedicated telephoto on there, which you don't get with the Edge or the Air. Mm-hmm. It looks interesting.
Wireless charging.
80-watt wired and 50-watt wireless.
Yeah, if you want a thin phone, that could be a goer. And if you're happy with what Honor do with the software too. But I'm not convinced that we'll see it soon. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? Okay, a couple of snippets of news. Android 17, it is alleged in this 9to5 Google article this week, is going to split notifications and quick settings panel. Boo! So it's more like Apple stuff, but no, actually that's not fair. It's not really Apple. But the whole control center thing was. But anyway, the point is that the reports on leaks at the moment are saying that it's going to be optional, which is great because as long as we can turn it off and turn it on, like we can with Motorola, like we can with Samsung. Well, last time I looked. Then that'll be good. Talking of Samsung, we've got the One UI 8.5 Lockstar, which is, as we were mentioning earlier, reintroducing manual always-on display brightness again, which is one thing that used to really annoy me. They took it away and they brought it back and they took it away, and Lockstar module that controls it, it was just one minute it was working and the next minute it wasn't. My S24 Plus, you cannot get any control over the brightness at all. And when they bring it back this time, I'm hoping that they'll leave it back, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I agree, Ted. I know, and that would be good to have that back, actually, because I noticed it as well. And I think I've got mine on auto, for dark rooms and that, but I obviously then it switches off. So like during the night when you wake up and you glance over, it's switched off, which is a wee bit annoying. So I'd need to leave it on, but then leaving it on, it's just too bright. So, that would be good. That would definitely be good to have back.
And that would drain my battery even more then. Okay, so we covered the Apple and Siri story, and the only last one that I mention is that I've got an Xperia 1 Mark IV and an Xperia 5 Mark IV here, they just this week been added to the Lineage OS support list, so it'd be interesting for me to have a look at that. But although I do fear that the LED notification light may be gone, the album art on the always on display might be gone, and who knows what they might be doing or not doing with the camera software. And as Steve pointed out today in the group, there's all the audio, the rich audio support. So who knows how well that's been coded with Lineage and how good it's going to be. But interestingly, because the software support has effectively ended for those two devices, and I've got them both here, I certainly might be trying to put one of them on it if I can manage it without Mike Warner's help this time. Joe, what do you want to talk about?
Just quickly on the split notification and quick settings, I've actually got used to that because of Samsung and Honor, and I actually prefer it now, funny enough. Because if I want to just get settings, swipe from one side. If I want just notifications, swipe from the other. And it for me, it's cleaner. But I do like the fact that, like you say, it's going to be optional, so you can have either or.
Of course, you can get used to anything. Your brain will get into gear. But when I went back to the Galaxy S24 Plus this week, it was so nice to not have to think about sides like you do with Honor, and just to do it like the Pixel way. It was great.
I switched it back as well, so that it was just single. It was too taxing on the brain.
I see
the pro, isn't it? You know, that way, after a while, I just thought, oh, I need to go back. It's been too long. I'm just used to the one thing, you know.
We're just all too old. Well, Joe isn't.
I'm getting there slowly.
Yeah.
Right, Joe, what would you like to cover in your bit? Joe's throws.
Yeah, so you put a bit of thing in here about Chris Bates on the Magic 8 Pro, and I'm quite keen to read this anyway, because I liked his little review in there. So he said, the photos look great, the screen looks sharp and bright, the speakers kick out a surprising sound, the UI has some nice touches, because a lot of people say bad things about the UI, it's built fantastically well, and did he say the case is amazing? I don't know what he means by that.
It comes with a case, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah. I thought
I seen it coming with a plastic. Maybe it doesn't.
Maybe he means the body of it, but yeah.
He probably does, doesn't he? Because it's got that rounded corners.
But he does have one issue, though. It makes his girlfriend look very white in photos. Any fixes, he asked. Maybe I'll download Gcam. he said he's added filters, he's added tone via beauty and reduced exposure, and he's getting there, and he's using natural, not vibrant or authentic. He does say she looks the same on iPhone PAL, and I don't think HDR is helping. So if anyone's got any ideas for Chris Bates, please let him know.
Perhaps she is pale.
Maybe she is, yeah. she doesn't listen to this podcast, it's fine, we can talk about her. But yeah, great to hear Chris is enjoying his phone so far. I mean, after I made the bold statement that it could be the best flagship of 2026 as early as January the 13th, it's good to hear other people are agreeing it's a good device at least. So I'm off the next 2 days. I'm going to be working on some content. I've got my SIM in and have had my SIM in for a while now in the Razer 60 Ultra.
Ah.
And I've got it paired up with the Moto Watch Fit.
Yay.
The watch, I'm with you, Ted. I really, really enjoy the watch. It's very basic, but I'm a basic man. the screen is absolutely lovely, and the visuals on it are really, really nice, I think. And the battery life is fantastic for me, even with everything turned on. You don't get the claimed days, but you still get nearly a week through, I would say. Which is pretty good. So I'm really enjoying that.
Do you have the always on display on?
Yes, of course. Yeah. I love it. I took a picture of the night I charged it. I'm just going to quickly check, just because I love doing things live on the podcast.
I think if you turn the always on display off on the watch, you will get another day or so. I did test that, but I want it on.
I love it on, yeah. I'd rather charge sooner than get one day extra. It's not worth it. If you got more than one day, I'd probably consider it. So it was Monday last week. I put it on charge that evening, and it's so nearly essentially a week later, I'm down to 10%.
Right. That's really good.
So, it's fantastic. Wow. And that's with everything on. The Razer is a lovely device as well. But I've said this before, the flip form factor really isn't for me, if I'm honest. I think I'd say probably at launch, it's probably overpriced as well. Bad motivator saying that, but got to be truthful. But it is a nice device, really nice device. The camera's pretty decent. I do miss a telephoto though, so it would be nice to have all three. But I've mentioned before, I understand why they went this way, because using an ultra wide as a selfie on there makes sense. So I can see why they've did that. But yeah. I think more when my review comes out.
The problem that I've got with the flip, is that I can't really use the outside screen for anything meaningful.
Mm.
I was trying again this week, and I was trying to look at MeWe, and I was trying to look at Gmail, and it was so tiny. And then if you increase the size of the font or the display, there's no screen left to actually look at it, particularly if you want to bring the keyboard up. And that's what I just found with the whole form factor, was the outside screen made it useless, and it was just becoming a notification kind of a thing and a clock.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they shout about how it is more useful and usable than the flip, but then I just open it up like a normal slab, to be honest. So, I mean, that's why it's not for me, this form factor. I can imagine certain people would get a lot of use out of it. I haven't really used the AI update me button at all.
Right. It doesn't
work. Maybe I should give...
It doesn't work, really. The only time that I've got it to work is if I get someone to send me a text message and then don't look at it, but press the button, and then it tells you what's in the text message. So in that respect, it does work. But I think that my problem is that I check all my messages and notifications so regularly anyway, I don't give it a chance to work.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Do you use a smartwatch, Mark?
I do, so I've had one or two of them. So I had the Pixel Watch 3 and just sold that.
Uh-huh.
And now I've got the Galaxy Watch 7, again, another freebie, it made me buy that S25. They were both good watches, and I really liked the Pixel one. Decided to sell it because I had the Galaxy as well, so I was just like swapping between them, and that's useless. Mm. So I was using the Galaxy for a good bit, but recently I've just went back to a normal watch because basically it was irritating my hand. I don't know if you guys have ever had that, but I don't know. There was something that was just, and I changed the strap and all that. It was a good quality Samsung strap. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I changed it. Just changed it back to a normal watch just recently. But I do like them. I do like pain with stuff on the watch and all that as well. But mostly the main reason is that the health benefits, and obviously if it gives me an alert and tells me I'm 5 minutes from death, that would be quite handy as well, you know. So
So you're back to a Casio G-Shock now, are you?
I am back to Casio, and it's the Jura, which is a famous classic one. You know, right. It's one that looks like a diver's watch. It's 200 meters.
Right.
It's like 70 quid or something like that. One of the best value watches you can get. I'm back to that. But I do have a G-Shock as well, and a few other bits and bobs. But,
we do have a little bit of coverage of ordinary watches, not smartwatches, on our Tech Addicts podcast now and again. And it's quite interesting because Gareth is also interested in non-smartwatches through nostalgia mainly, and so yeah, be interesting for anyone that is wanting to talk about that. Tech Addicts,
yeah, good tip, thanks Ted.
So going back to the watch and what you were saying, Joe, about it being basic, I'd just like to say that I don't agree that it's basic, except that you're not going to get all the gym and the jog and the deep rooted analysis of data from exercises and all that stuff that you'll get with, you know, Fitbit and all these other systems. This basically, I think, is a lazy Gitz watch that doesn't go to the gym and doesn't go running, but actually appreciates having notifications and the hookup to the phone working well. And what you were just saying about update me, that if you use a Motorola phone with the watch, you also get that on the watch. I don't know if you tried that, but you get the button on the watch as well, but you don't get that with any other phone, obviously. So basic in a sense, but I think in another sense not.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I should clarify, really, because there is some, even saying that, there is some tracking on there with fitness, because I've noticed there's even things like badminton on there.
Yes, I checked, so
I mean, there is, well, just looking now, I've got my stress, my stamina, sleep, heart rate and blood oxygen on the main health screen, and my steps, of course. So there is some data there. I think, I mean, basic in the terms of being able to respond to notifications and stuff like that, but I don't do that on any of the watches that you can do that on anyway, because, again, we spoke about a small screen being usable. A watch, for me, is more for to look at for notifications, not to respond with. So, yeah, I love this watch, and I'm going to be using it for quite some time. I'm probably going to sell my OnePlus watch, which I also love, but I could do with some money, and this is doing the job for me. So, yeah, cool. Bravo Moto on that one.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to have a quick mention of the Nothing Phone 3, which I'm really disappointed with because they've taken away the good battery icon in the status bar, and it's just so annoying. I think I might have spoken about it before. They updated the software, forced it on us. Well, I suppose I didn't have to update it, but included in it is the battery icon. And it's just tiny. We spoke about it on the last show, didn't we? So I won't bang on about it again. But that little thing has effectively forced me to put the phone away. I'm so shallow, obviously. But the other thing I wanted to mention was the battery drain. And I used this phone for a few days to test the battery. And the battery performance is really, really good as long as you don't use the screen, I found. my 10% reading test that I do with phones when I review them was just terrible. It was down to an hour and something. I can't remember what it was now exactly, but it was down to an hour and something. And I'm used to phones now giving me like 3 hours on my 10% reading test. But turn the screen off, stop reading it, and put it on standby, always on display, whatever else you want, and it's brilliant through the rest of the day. So I've got the adaptive brightness on. I haven't got any other fancy power saving things or anything. The screen hertz thingy is down to on auto. What's it called? Resolution. No. What am I trying to say? The screen, it's not on 120, it's not on 90, it's not on 60, it's on auto.
Yeah.
What's the word I can't get?
Adaptive, that's it, or dynamic.
Adaptive
or dynamic. I think it's adaptive, actually, Joe, to be honest. And it goes down from 1 to,
And so that all kind of, all the things that I think I can do about that, I think I've done. But it just seems to me that whenever I've got the screen on, it just, the battery drops away. And as soon as I turn it off, it doesn't. So there you have it. That was the only thing I wanted to mention today. I did do a blog post about essential space, I did an overview hand in hand with Gemini, and who's probably got it half of it wrong now that we've discovered how useless she is. But I'll put a link in the show notes to the essential space stuff. Joe, you covered most of that in your YouTube video, so it was just kind of doubling up on much of what you were saying, really. Highlighting how useless it is, really. Until they open it up so that you can use the data somewhere else. And when they do that, I think, in a pixel type way, then it might start to be a bit more useful.
I don't know how you guys feel about all these AI buttons. I'm not that bothered by them, but everyone's doing them. Even Honor.
The Motorola one, I think, is just a bit of a waste of space, to be honest. And the essential space button, I think it'd be better if you could turn it off, but you can't. What I found with the Nothing phone is actually when I go to turn it on, I keep going into the developer menu because I'm pressing the power down on the other side at the same time by accident, which is another matter. So it's not been a good week this week for Nothing Phone. And also, I got the CMF Watch 3 Pro, and that was rubbish compared to the Motorola one. It's just not very good. It doesn't. The software's a bit rubbish. They're switching over from one software to another. So it now works on the Nothing X app instead of the CMF Watch app, and that just completely confused everything. So I got really fed up with that, and I just put the Moto Watch Fit back on it because it just works so much better, even though it's not a Moto device.
Mm.
Anyway, there you go. That's been my frustrating week.
Nothing brands. I just wish the cameras were better, because obviously there's just that starter profile, and you know, I don't know, I like the idea. I love all the glyph stuff and all that, but well, until the recent one actually. But it seems like a cool phone. I just wish the camera was better, and I would definitely be up for trying it.
Yeah, I think for undemanding me, I think the camera's quite good. The main sensor's got a 50 megapixel OIS. There's a 3x optical zoom on the second lens, which is also 50 megapixels, and there's also a wide angle one, and there's a really good super macro thing for close-ups as well. I do think personally, for me, not for you, because you've got mm-hmm. higher demands than me, I think the camera setup is actually quite good, Mark.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear, Ted, you know, and obviously I'm just going from some of the reviews I looked at the time, and then I thought, oh, that would be a bit dodgy for me to jump over to that, because I know right away I'd probably nitpick, but I do remember them talking about it, and what's the name of the CEO of that again? What's his name?
Carl Pye.
He was talking about it as well, and you know, and he was saying that he's expanded the camera team and just some of the areas that they went into, and I definitely think they're going to get there, you know. He's definitely listening. He knows that the camera's a big thing, you know, and that's why he was obviously talking about expanding that and what they were doing and what they were looking at, and they're trying to be, you know, look at different ways of, you know, getting, you know, pretty much going down the route of what Google's kind of doing as well. But yeah, so I think it will get there, and I think it's a great brand. I mean, I do look at it. I love the designs. It's always good to see someone doing something different, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Joe, do you remember how you found the camera on it?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think you can get really good shots on it, and Mark, you would get some nice shots on it. I just think it's not always consistent, especially in low light. It was quite a fun camera to use, and going to that macro you mentioned, it does really good macro video as well. It is fun to use. If you can borrow one at some point, I'd highly recommend to have a play.
Now that you two have said that, then when I see one coming up, you know, I'll probably... If you get one at a reasonable price, I'm definitely up for trying it. Like I said, I'm intrigued by them, and I'm definitely open to it.
The one thing you can do as well is you can apply LUTs to your images in device, which is quite good. Yeah, it's not going to blow you away, Mark. Don't get me wrong, but it's fun to use.
No, it's one of those things, because, I mean, obviously I could go back to the old life of the two-phone stuff and all of that. I did that for a bit, but now I've definitely refined that and still just carrying one device about, you know. But if it ever reaches a point where, you know, it's passable in most situations, then I'm definitely up for it.
Keep an eye on what they're doing.
I always love it when they bring something new out, because I mean, it's a different take on it, you know, and I think that's what we need. We need that in the market. I hope they keep doing well enough to keep about and keep things, you know, churning. Obviously with that latest phone, I think they took a bit of stick across the board, didn't they, you know, in some of the design choices, you know, so I don't think the price will be dented too much, and hopefully they'll read up and I know that they take big interest in it, because obviously, you know, it's all their videos, it's all user-based centric, you know, they're always doing videos and stuff and reading out the, you know, people's responses, and I always think that's a great take, I really do, and it's good, and they're not shy about the bad, you know, and I always thought, that's good. It's a good way to want everybody on board as well.
I was going to mention that about Nothing. Actually, their community is really, really good. Because I got the phone for a community review, which you're like forced to put it on their community. And good or bad, they let you just put it on there. And they're really keen to get feedback, which I thought was really refreshing. Yeah, they're really proactively seeking feedback from different people. So, yeah, well done, Nothing. I'm enjoying the growth they've had, and one to watch, I think.
I just remembered. Yeah, I just remembered the phrase that I was groping for earlier and didn't get to. Refresh rate.
Refresh rate.
Refresh.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Let's go. While we're talking about cameras, let's go to photo of the week from PSC Photos, and I've chosen a picture of Steve Litchfield's dog. Believe it or not, the eyes have it, he's called it, and he's taken this with an iPhone 17 Pro Max. And I think, to be honest, this is the all joking aside, I think this is the first picture of Steve's dogs that I've seen that I think has been really well taken, really good quality portrait, rather than the, you know, the usual kind of family snapshot of the dog, which, you know, often not just Steve, but often pet photos can be. It feels artistic and it's engaging. It's got a nice wooden backdrop which looks like some sort of chest of drawers or something, and that works really well. The only criticism I've got really is that the bottom right hand corner, I think I would probably chop off because it's a bit distracting, but apart from that, I think that's a really good portrait, nicely done, and he's got the dog in just the right position, and use that blue towel as a good kind of prop and backdrop, and yeah, it worked really well for me. Any thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, no, I like it too. I mean, the iPhone's a good camera, isn't it? It's a really good all-rounder. I really do like the iPhone. Certainly the portraits as well, you know, and look at that, yeah. How sharp that is. Bokeh is nice, you know, the blur, and yeah, the chest of drawers in the background. I see your wee comment there, just about the right-hand corner there.
Yeah.
And I probably yeah. agree with that as well. Maybe mm-hmm. brought that in a wee bit or shaded it in with some AI generation or something in there, whatever. But yeah, it's a good one, the dog, and good detail.
Nice. Joe?
Yeah, no, I really like it, and like one of the words that comes to mind is texture, like the texture on the towel or the blanket in front, on his lip, on his nose and his fur on his face, and I love the drop off as well, and I'm a sucker for warm tones with cooler tones as well, so it's got that element for me as well. So yeah, I really like it. Well done, Steve.
But the depth of field is really quite shallow, isn't it? If you look at the hair on the dog's forehead, it's not in focus, and the eyes are very much in focus, and halfway down the nose it goes out of focus again. So he's done the classic thing of focusing on the eyes somehow, and I think that's just worked out really nicely. So well done, Steve. Okay, classifieds. If you want to join our classifieds group, which is another group on MeWe, then you'll need to email me and talk to me about that, because it is a members-only group, and we like to control the people that come and go in there. It's been a rather quiet week on the group. I don't know if we're going to get enough to talk about here on the show. Joe, anything for you?
Yeah, just in time, Stephen Aspinall popped up his S25 Ultra 512 of storage in titanium black for £675. A great device for that price. With someone else's money, I'll take that, please.
Okay. you nicked Mark's there, I think, as well.
Yeah, it popped up just before we came on.
It did, Joe, and because when I looked last night, and I didn't see anything. In fact, the first thing I said is I don't see anything that I'd pick at the minute. Possibly I would have picked, there was a Pixel 10 Pro that was in there, but it just sold at the weekend, because my daughter was looking for a new phone, and she's interested in Pixels now. She's smashed her iPhone 11 screen 3 times, so she's decided that she would like to try smashing a Pixel phone. So I was like, all right. But no, obviously she didn't say that, but she's like, yeah, really, really interested in the Pixel because of the camera. Now she obviously sees the images that I take, you know, and she, now it's kind of won her over a wee bit. So I possibly could have been interested in that, but like you, Joe, I spotted that S25 Ultra, and obviously having that phone and knowing how good it is across the board, again, like the iPhone, it's a good all-round performer, doing well in pretty much everything that it does. So I would possibly go with that as well, and that's a good price. For a great device.
512 gigabyte version.
Yeah.
Certainly is. It was slim pickings this week. I don't know if people are on a go slow in January with buying and selling, but because of that, I'm going to do a Tech Addicts bargain basement style one for myself. I noticed on Amazon UK that the OnePlus 512 gigabyte, 12 gigabyte version has just arrived this week on Amazon, and the introductory price is £629. 7,400 milliamp hour battery. I just think that the trouble is with the OnePlus is that they have, from what I read, that they've gone even more in the kind of way of Apple with the software and further away from Oxygen, and that would be a bit of a shame. But anyway, 629 I think is a bit of a bargain. So even though it's not on our classifiers technically, I'm still going to mention it.
Yeah, that is a good price. I'm looking at that now.
And four OS updates, 6 years of security.
Yep.
Cool. Right, okay, so that's the classifieds. Well, it's also Tech Addicts Bargain Basement. Thanks very much, Mark, for joining us. It's been a great chat for the last hour or so. I hope you enjoyed it too.
I did, guys. It was good. It was good catching up. Good to be back on again and keep things going. Everything's been great. Obviously, with Steve stepping away and Joe coming into the mix, so it's been fantastic. You kept the show going. It's going from strength to strength. So, and it was brilliant being back on, like I said. So, thanks for having me.
We'll put you back on the rotation and get you back on again in due course, if you're willing. So,
absolutely.
There you go. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. And tedsalmon.com is where you'll find links to all the stuff that I do, all the audio podcasts, the team and I, should say, all the audio podcasts and all the MeWe groups as well. Not forgetting to plug the Nomad Tech Project, where Sam and Joe do a video podcast every Sunday night, or nearly every Sunday night. So check that out as well. And if you want to buy me a coffee, it's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe a coffee, it's paypal.me/hickey85. Other than that, we'll see you in the MeWe group as we go forward, and we'll be back again with another show in we haven't got one next week. Well, not at the moment, Joe, but we you never know what might happen. In 2 weeks' time with James Reed, so watch out for that one, and we'll go from there. So yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon. Take care.